But this has nothing to do. It's not germane to Joe DeLeon, who joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline from the Believe Network covering college and pro. He's a good follow on Twitter as well. Hey, man, sorry to bring you into that beef with Sean McDonough, Joe. We were starting off with Miami, and it seems like the ACC is doing everything in their power to line them up. But these are two amazing cover-behind victories back-to-back for the Canes.
Oh, absolutely. And they've been a heart attack to watch every single week with the way that they're playing. I keep likening this to every single year we always have this one team, and you can't explain it. They just always find a way to win. Luck always happens to be on their side. 2 years ago, it was TCU. This past year, it was Washington. Both those teams got to a national championship, and Miami seems to have that going for them right now, that they just will their way into situations, and the ball bounces their way, calls go their way. Everything seems to line up perfectly for them to keep on winning. But to remove the luck side of things, man, Cam Ward is so fun to watch. He is a phenomenal football player. It is so rare to have a player like that, that if you're down by 25 points, if you're down that bad in any given game, he is good enough to wheel his team back, even against a defense that is that good, that was so successful at turning over opposing quarterbacks. It's special. He deserves to remain in the Heisman conversation. This Miami team has a legit shot of winning the ACC if everything continues to play out the way that we've seen so far.
Joe, do you feel like either Texas or the winner of Oregon-Ohio State has a real chance to remain undefeated after the carnage we saw this weekend?
I think right now my favorite to be that top team in relation to this conversation, because right now the debate is Texas or Ohio State for me. I think that Ohio State's going to beat Oregon, but after this upcoming weekend, I think Ohio State deserves to be that number one team, and I think that with their remaining schedule, they will finish undefeated. I understand that sounds really aggressive to throw out there from the craziness we've seen over the past couple of weeks, and that anyone can get upset, whether it's NIU coming out and upsetting Notre Dame or Vanderbilt upsetting Alabama. Ohio State feels to have the most well-rounded roster and the best and easiest path to success. They're not going to really be as challenged as a team like Texas, who still has to face off with Georgia and Texas A&M, among other top SEC teams. I really think that this Ohio State program is one of the few remaining, I don't want to say sure things, but one of the few remaining teams that we feel like we know for sure what they are, and they have the strongest path for them to continue to succeed.
I know that Will Howard didn't exactly, excite a lot of fans outside of Ohio State. He can handle a game that gets into, like, a shooting match. I mean, I know Oregon at some point, Dan Lanning's got to win a big game. But I always thought this would be the tough test for Ohio State because, they run through that dog schedule out of conference, and they played Iowa, who's always offensively challenged. So I'll go counterpoint. But then I got to go with Penn State, and Penn State can never beat these guys, even though it's in Happy Valley this year, right?
Right. I mean, that's where the debate always comes down to for talking about these top Big Ten teams. It's kind of pick your poison with Jim Harbaugh out of the conference, that Ryan Day always is finding ways to fall short, but then next down the ladder is James Franklin always finds ways to fall short against the top teams in the conference. Now Oregon is in that discussion with Michigan faltering the way that they have. I feel like with Penn State, defensively, they're really strong. I'm not totally sure if their secondary is playing to the degree that they need to be as good as they were defensively last year. And it still remains to be seen, I think, with Drew Allar. I think that he's a great player, and I think that Andy Kotelnicki is scheming up well, and the run game is really supporting them. But Allar, we're yet to see a true test this year. Last season, the games that they played the back end of the Big Ten, the middle of the Big Ten, he dominated, but the minute he squared up with Ohio State and Michigan was when he played his worst games. So when he gets challenged later on this year, will be the true barometer of how good Penn State is and if they're worthy of contending with Ohio State and Oregon for that Big Ten championship.
What happened with Alabama this weekend, Joe? Was it a once-in-a-generation anomaly, or did Vandy actually expose something that Alabama is a weakness there?
Well, I think the main thing that it exposed and reminded us really quickly as reality set in is that this is a first-year head coach at Alabama, and I know that he's been a successful coach at so many different stops, but to get the buy-in and the focus that you need in a week of preparation there are very, very, very few head coaches, and I know that a lot of people are pointing out the talent level of the roster. There's very few head coaches that can immediately hit the ground running, especially in the SEC. And their issues came down to focus on defense. They played really just undisciplined, technically poor football. Diego Pavia, who played an amazing game, they didn't have any rushes longer than 13 yards, but what they did do so successfully, the one when they needed to convert, they did, but they ran a ton of speed option. They had a lot of spots where they forced Alabama's defenders to have to make a decision, and whatever game prep that they were doing heading into the week, they weren't prepared enough. It felt like right. that with all of the thinking that was required by Alabama's defense, if they were ready, Vanderbilt would not have succeeded to the degree that they did. I just chalked that up to a first-year head coach at his new job not preparing to the level that they needed to. The SEC is different than the Pac-12, and you know, when he was in the Mountain West at Fresno State, he can't take weeks off, and it felt like they did against Vanderbilt.
It is Joe DeLeon for the Believe Network, and I saw a bunch of Bama fans. It's like, well, they needed to get Saban in there. Saban's retired. I know he's got an office down the hall, but you can't keep going, hey, kids, we're going to bring Saban in to remind you guys about rat poison and don't get the big head and don't lose to Van. It's just, and then, of course, the funny part last night was, I guess, Saturday night, they kept doing an endless loop on the big screen at Vandy of Saban saying how easy it is to win. It's the most unintimidating environment in Nashville. So, Joe, real quick, keep it in the SEC with Georgia. I said it earlier, we're not making excuses for the Dogs. Kirby has a Bama problem. I just thought, why get into a shooting match in that game a week ago? Why not try to establish the run? I just thought like they get the momentum of the game seemed like it took Georgia over in the first half.
Yeah, you steal my analysis perfectly here. This is exactly what I said after the game and what I've been saying about Georgia to this point. They are not leaning on their run game when, especially in the Alabama game, they were able to have some drives with some serious rushing success. And you brought in Trevor Etienne to be the premier back, and he's gifted enough to be a really productive player in the SEC. It keeps happening for so many teams in the SEC this year. Ole Miss did it the week prior against Kentucky. Missouri did it this past week against Texas A&M. It is so frustrating when teams bail on the run game and then they immediately start throwing the ball way too much. I think that Georgia, Mike Bobo, for whatever reason this season, they have just felt that, hey, we've got Carson Beck. He is a Heisman-worthy player. He's going to be a first-round pick. This is one of the most gifted quarterbacks that we've had. Why don't we lean on him? When in reality, what made him so good last year is that the offense was balanced and that he was able to create and make plays off of that balance. So they need to get back to running the football. I think that they're going to. It's to Georgia's benefit that they lost this game as early as they did in the year, in my opinion, because you identify the mistakes, you have a great coaching staff, and then you're going to bounce back. This is not Alabama's situation. This is not any other coaching staff where they're bad at recovering. This is a Georgia team that we know when they mess up, they're able to bounce back, and I think that they will with the remaining stretch of tough games on their schedule.
Joe, so many people after week one wrote off Clemson and Dabo and his approach or lack thereof of using the modern advancements in the game. Now, I mean, hey, they got themselves right back into the thick of this thing. I know they haven't beat any world beaters in terms of their competition, but what do you make of Clemson's resurgence?
I think that one thing is important to talk about with Clemson is that, and it's tough to bring this up with an ACC schedule, is that I want to see how they're going to match up in their remaining big games in their schedule, particularly the Miami game when they face off with Miami. Their game against Florida State was fantastic, but again, that's a very weak Florida State team. For whatever reason, and part of the reason why I'm in wait-and-see mode, and maybe this is me being a little bit too much of a Clemson hater, but Dabo is the king of building up momentum against opponents that really aren't as significant and that aren't don't matter as much in the grand scheme of the rest of their schedule and the entire season. And winning games is obviously important. It's commendable in the way that they're doing it, the way that their offense is just so much more potent than it was against Georgia. It's really positive. I think that this Clemson team is showing some serious signs of life, that they're getting better every single week. But if they don't show up when they play a team like Miami, then I think it's fair to go back to criticizing him because the deficiencies that they have on the roster could show up in a game like that. But they're so good on defense right now. they could be the kryptonite for Cam Ward and that Miami squad. I'm really excited for that matchup to answer all those questions for me.
Talking with Joe DeLeon, guys, and the Believe Network will pivot to the NFL. How about them Falcons, baby? Feels good to not be the team which is screwing up. Normally, we are the Saints. We are the Eagles. We are the Bucks, teams that we had to come back and find a way to win against. But Kirk Cousins coming into his own. If we can ever get some consistent pressure on the quarterback, seems like we got a nice formula here.
Yeah, the big thing for me with the Falcons, it's been so impressive, and it comes down to the way that they played against the Buccaneers. I think it's summed up so well, is that they're strapping and fighting to get back into games, and they're able to finish. That was something that, and obviously when you have Kirk Cousins compared to Desmond Ridder, you actually have a veteran, poised, confident quarterback for these types of situations. But it feels like that this roster with a first-year head coach, this is something that like we almost never see with first-year head coaches, first of all, but with a first-year head coach, to be able to stare down adversity and to finish the way that they are is tremendous. The 500 yards that Kirk Cousins threw for, it's not going to happen every single week. I would love to, just like we talked about with Georgia, I'd love to see a little bit more balance of getting Bijan involved, especially with how strong he's averaging per carry. But their ability is going to help them later on in the season when they have tough matchups in the division and when they go on to play playoff games. I think that they're good enough to reach the playoffs. If you're able to rally and point to those past experiences and you're huddled up saying, hey, guys, we won those games where we were down and we stormed back, where everybody thought that we were going to lose because we had a late turnover. Remember what happened? Let's lock in. We have that over the opposing team. It's going to pay huge, huge dividends for Atlanta to potentially win some playoff games.
Joe, how much rope are you giving Justin Fields before they make a switch in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I am waiting a little bit longer before it's time to bail on him because – and this is something that's always the case with young quarterbacks. And I know that Chris, a number of the times that have come on your show and defended Justin Fields a bit, he's been playing long enough now where he is in a prove-it mode. But this Steelers receiving core is brutally bad. And it's almost a joke that you've got George Pickens with the eye black that says he's always open with the expletive in the middle. And they're just lack of production separation, guys getting open and getting completely clowned on by that Dallas secondary sums everything up. They have to go out and get somebody. It stinks for them that a lot of the potential guys that are on the market are within the division, that being T. Higgins, that being Amari Cooper. They got to do everything in their power to try and get Devontae Adams. And I don't know if Adams has any desire to join that Steelers team and if he'd prefer going to play with Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers, two guys that he has been magnetized towards going and playing with, but they have to get somebody. And it can't just be a middle-tier receiver from a roster that's just trying to dump somebody. They badly need a premier player because that is going to hold back that offense when they need a spark, and Devontae Adams certainly could be that.
Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, the Cowboys, other than having, like, you know, 10,000 idiot Cowboy fans here, don't feel so scary all of a sudden for the Falcons later in the year. Hey, man, we always love getting you on, Joe. Follow him again at on the Twitter, Joe DeLeon from Believe Network, man. Have a great week.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.